So my name is Alexis Guild. I am the Migrant Health Policy Analyst at Farmworker Justice. In your programs, you see the name Carlos Ugarte, who is our Director of Health Programs at Farmworker Justice. He was unable to attend, so I am giving the presentation in his place. I have nothing to disclose at this time. So Farmworker Justice is a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C. that seeks to empower migrant and seasonal farm workers to improve their living and working conditions. This includes occupational safety and health, immigration, access to justice, HIV, and other health issues and issues that affect migrant and seasonal farm workers. Our website is up there. Please check us out for more information on our programs and materials. So to begin, I want to give a brief overview, and when I say brief, I mean very brief, overview of who are our nation's farm workers. I don't know how many of you have a background in farm worker advocacy, know about our nation's farm workers, so I wanted to make sure everyone was on the same page to frame the discussion when we talk about the challenges and gaps in the Affordable Care Act and how farm workers and their families will be affected. There are approximately 2 million farm workers in the U.S. I say approximately because the data is somewhat inaccurate. It's hard to get good data on farm workers for many reasons. The Department of Labor does do a survey called the National Agricultural Worker Survey, and it provides a really good overview, and a lot of the data that I'm going to share with you is from that survey. However, it's well acknowledged that a lot of the data is incomplete. So there are approximately 2 million farm workers in the U.S., about 4 million if you include their families. They are all over the U.S. So, of course, California has the highest impact, but Texas, Michigan, Florida, Oregon, Washington, a lot of those states have a large number of farm workers. 78% of farm workers are Hispanic. 4% are African American. There are also some who come from Haiti and who speak Creole. So that's important to remember when you think about literacy and language. About 78% of farm workers are male, but about 22% are female, and that's a growing number. 71% of farm workers are foreign-born. Of these foreign-born farm workers, 68% are from Mexico. About 3% are from Central America. It's also important to remember that 71% of farm workers speak Spanish as their dominant language. And actually, indigenous farm workers, so farm workers who come from southern Mexico and Guatemala, who actually speak an indigenous language like Mixteco, Triqui, Zapoteco, it's about 4% of farm workers who speak these languages as their primary language. And they are actually the fastest growing farm worker population in the U.S. And these farm workers who come from indigenous communities actually likely speak their indigenous language as their primary language and may even be monolingual in that indigenous language and speak Spanish as their second language. 64% do not have health insurance. And of those that do have health insurance, the majority have their health insurance through their employer. And about 78% earn below $20,000 a year. So they are certainly within the range that would get subsidies in the marketplace and would qualify for Medicaid in Medicaid expansion states. I want to give a brief overview of eligibility. Dr. Morales did a really good job kind of talking about the basics of the Affordable Care Act, but it's important to kind of think about eligibility when you think about farm workers. So U.S. citizens, lawful permanent residents for 5+ years, other qualified immigrants, including refugees and asylees, they are eligible for everything. Lawfully present individuals, which is a pretty broad category that really importantly includes non-immigrant visa holders. So that includes H-2A, agricultural guest workers, H-2B workers. They do qualify for the marketplaces. They qualify for tax credits and subsidies, and they qualify for employer health insurance and safety nets. The undocumented, who, again, about 50 to 70% of farm workers are undocumented, give or take. That's the estimate. So, but at least 50% of farm workers are undocumented. Undocumented individuals and those who are granted deferred action for childhood arrival status, are you familiar with that status, DACA? Have you heard that? I'm getting a mix of heads. So DACA was a policy announced by the Obama administration in 2012, which basically it provided deferred deportation to those who met certain standards, to those who were brought to the U.S. as kids and who were under 30 at the time of application. They were eligible for a deferred deportation, meaning that they would be able to get a work visa and they would not be deported for 2 years. They are actually ineligible for the Affordable Care Act, but they are eligible for employer insurance and the safety net. So let's talk about the gaps. So knowing everything that I just told you about demographics of farm workers and the eligibility of farm workers, what are the gaps? So one important gap is the undocumented. So okay, at least 50% of farm workers are undocumented. Again, could be higher, could be 70. In some states like North Carolina in some areas, it's estimated to be as high as 90%. They do not qualify to go into the marketplaces. They do qualify for the not lawfully present exemption, which I will come back to. There is also the seasonal worker exception to the employer mandate. So how many of you are familiar with the employer mandate? It was just mentioned, but how many of you know the basics of the employer mandate? Raise your hand. Okay, so you know about large employers having to offer health insurance. But there's an exception. And this exception is called the seasonal worker exception. And what it says is if you are a large employer, but your workers in excess of 50 are seasonal workers, and they include the statutory definition of seasonal farm workers from the Migrant Seasonal Agricultural Worker Protection Act, who work for fewer than 120 days or 4 months in a calendar year, you are actually not a large employer for the purposes of the Affordable Care Act, and you are not mandated to offer affordable health insurance to your employees. Does that make sense? So why is that challenging for farm workers? It's unclear how many farm workers will actually fall into the seasonal worker exception. How many will actually work for employers or farm labor contractors who fall under this exception? It's safe to say, however, that female farm workers will be disproportionately affected by this exception because female farm workers work shorter seasons than their male counterparts. So female farm workers will be disproportionately affected by this exception as will others, but it's unclear how that will look across the country. Another major issue is migrant farm workers, and this is definitely an issue of portability. You know, so farm workers traditionally they migrated in three streams up the East Coast from Florida to Maine, in the Midwest from Texas to Michigan, and in the West Coast from California to Washington State. It's not quite as clear-cut, those streams, anymore. There's a lot of cross-cutting in the streams, a lot of farm workers who travel from Florida to, let's say, Michigan or other states. It's not as clear-cut as it used to be, but portability is a huge issue, not only when it comes to employer insurance, but also when it comes to the marketplaces, and when they move from one state to another, how will that look? Will they be able to get new health insurance? Will they carry that health insurance with them, out-of-network costs? So that's a huge issue. There is supposed to be a multi-state plan. It's not exactly clear how that's going to work. So there are a lot of unknowns when it comes to portability of health insurance. Now let's talk about challenges. As you can imagine, there are a lot of challenges, but I'm going to end on a positive note, I promise. So one challenge, portability, which I just talked about, so I'm not going to rehash it. Access to information. There is a huge lack of information about the Affordable Care Act, especially in farm worker communities. I did focus groups with farm workers and advocates in California, Florida, and Arizona in June. Now, granted, there's more information now, and people are more aware of the Affordable Care Act now. But when I spoke with these farm workers, with these advocates, with promotores de salud, they knew very little. And those that had heard about it heard a lot of misinformation, which I think is a huge challenge. One person told me, and this is a quote, that she heard that if you go to an ER in 2014 and do not have health insurance, not only will you be charged your ER bill, but you'll also have to pay a fine. That's not true. But a lot of people are hearing that. So combating this misinformation is a huge challenge. There are also state laws that restrict navigator activities, and they also make the requirements for navigators burdensome. So that makes it challenging for community-based organizations, especially those who work with immigrants, to become navigators. It deters a lot of organizations from becoming navigators. The low literacy level, the average education of a farm worker is 8th grade. So you have to have materials that are easily understandable and that farm workers can read, and not just in Spanish, but in indigenous languages and Creole and a lot of other languages. And cultural barriers. I mean, what is healthcare in the U.S.? It's very different from healthcare in their home countries. Healthcare utilization. So as I said before, 64% of farm workers have no health insurance. They don't really use health insurance for a variety of reasons, and part of the issue is that they don't get sick leave. So when a farm worker works in the field and gets sick, they can't just go to their employer and say, I'm feeling kind of bad today, I'm going to take the day off. They don't get sick leave, those are lost wages, they go to the health center, but the health centers can be expensive. Farm workers tend to go for themselves to access health care when it's acute. So they don't really access the health centers, they don't access health care, they have their own traditional healers, their own traditional medicines that they use, or they go to Mexico if they're along the border. It's very different healthcare in the U.S. than healthcare in their home countries. And just knowing what health insurance is and why it's important to have is a huge educational barrier. 20% of farm workers and their families, according to health center data, went to a community migrant health center in 2012. 20%. Of farm workers and their families. That's a low utilization rate. And health centers are really trying to get people in the doors, and they're really trying to reach out to communities. But farm workers are isolated, so they're hard to reach out to. And again, there are a lot of barriers for farm workers, including fear of employer retaliation. Farm workers are fearful that if they go to a health center, if they miss a day of work, if they get sick on the job and it's due to pesticide poisoning, they're reluctant to report it because they're worried about losing their job and perhaps even getting deported, which happens with undocumented farm workers. Affordability. A lot of farm workers who have health insurance get it through their employer. These are called skinny benefit plans or mini med plans. They have very low premiums, but very high deductibles, and they don't cover a whole heck of a lot. And under the Affordable Care Act, they actually don't cut it. They don't cut it under the Affordable Care Act. So these employers who are going to offer their employees health insurance, assuming that these employers are mandated, that they don't fall under the exception, will it be affordable for farm workers? I mean, you saw the wages. They don't make a lot of money. They work on piece rates. They make as much as they pick. So it's challenging. And if it's affordable for their employer, for themselves, will it be affordable for their family members? There are exemptions. There are 5 exemptions that we think that farm workers would likely qualify for, including affordability. The others are a hardship exemption, the not lawfully present exemption, which I'll get to in a second, as well as the below the tax filing threshold exemption and the short coverage gap exemption. But what will the application process look like for these exemptions? Will they know about the exemptions? And the biggest question is the not lawfully present exemption, because the IRS, this exemption is done through the IRS, it's done through your tax returns. The IRS did not make it clear how this exemption will work. Will they have to say, I'm not lawfully present? Will a farm worker who files an I-10, because a lot of farm workers do file taxes who are undocumented, they file what's called an individual tax identification number, they use that to file their taxes, will they actually check a box saying, I'm not lawfully present, to the federal government? No. Why would you? So hopefully they will clarify what that exemption will look like, and they'll make it in a way that says, I'm not eligible. But that's unclear at the moment. H-2A workers. We've been getting a lot of questions lately about H-2A workers. Do you guys know what H-2A workers are? Are you familiar with them? So H-2A workers, so these are non-immigrant visa holders. The majority are from Mexico. The employers, the growers, they apply through the Department of Labor to get a certification of a number of employees who then apply in their home countries, and they get a short-term visa and they come to the U.S. H-2A workers are isolated, and their living conditions are pretty poor, and they're not always the best working conditions. So it's difficult for H-2A workers to access anything. They rely heavily on their employer for everything, from food, groceries, healthcare, so on and so forth. Under the Affordable Care Act, as I said in that first slide, H-2A workers are under the mandate, and they are eligible for the marketplaces, for the tax credits, and they're eligible for an exemption. And if they come to the U.S. outside the open enrollment period, they will be able to apply in a special enrollment period, because their move to the U.S. will trigger a special enrollment period. The question is, how many will actually want to sign up for health insurance? Will they see the value of health insurance? Will they be able to get all the H-2A workers signed up in a short period of time because they're working a lot and they're isolated? And how will they know about their obligations under the Affordable Care Act? Employers are supposed to provide written notice to their employees about the employer health insurance as well as options in the marketplace. I didn't see anything from what I read that they're obligated to talk about the individual mandate. So how will these H-2A workers who live in Mexico, for example, and come to the U.S., how will they know about their obligations under the Affordable Care Act, and how will they know about the exemptions or about applying for health insurance? And then, of course, applying for health insurance. It's a good transition. So the application is complicated. Have many of you seen the application, the online paper application? It's complicated, right? There are a lot of questions on that application, and it's simplified, but it's not so simple. And for farm workers, the income section to me is always very challenging because a lot of farm workers, as I said, work on a piece rate. So how are they supposed to annualize their income to an annual income? And how do they know how much they're going to make next year? The crops may change. They may not be able to go to the same crop. They may not be hired again. There are a lot of factors that go into agriculture and harvesting crops. So the income section can be challenging, as can document verification, as can assurances from mixed status families. ICE on Friday actually sent a memo saying that the information you put in the application will not be used for immigration enforcement purposes. That's really important, but a lot of people are still really kind of wary about giving their information to the federal government, rightly so. So those assurances are extremely important. And then the plan selection. Yes, they all have 10 essential health benefits, which are fantastic. But within each plan, the coverage is slightly different, the doctors are slightly different, the prescription drugs that are covered are slightly different. If you are not familiar with health insurance, it can be really complicated to figure out what plan would work best for you and your family. So a few things to think about in terms of challenges. But I said I would end on a happy note. So I am ending on opportunities, because there are a lot of opportunities for farm workers under the Affordable Care Act, and I want to highlight three. One is farm worker community-based organizations. They are definitely getting involved. They want to help the farm workers in the community get to know about the Affordable Care Act, and many of them are navigators. And as you know, especially in immigrant communities, it's really important that you have that confidence, that confianza, of the community when you go in and talk to them. And so these community-based organizations have that confianza, and so they're a really great connection. We also put together a curriculum for outreach workers. We were hearing that a lot of outreach workers were getting questions about the Affordable Care Act when they were doing other kinds of outreach. So we are developing a curriculum for outreach workers that talks about the basics of the Affordable Care Act so they can answer basic questions, and then they can connect them to resources like navigators and health centers in their communities. which brings me to community migrant health centers, which will be discussed in more detail in just 2 minutes. But community migrant health centers are extremely important, and even though there's a low utilization of health centers in farm worker communities, they play a really vital role in providing health care to farm workers and their families. And community migrant health centers are really working hard to cover farm workers and get farm workers access to health care, regardless of their immigration status, regardless of insurance status. And this will continue in 2014 and beyond. And finally, as was just mentioned, there are state and county options that do actually provide health insurance to those who are not able to get health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. And those safety net programs will continue to be very important. So this is my information. For any further questions, I look forward to the question and answer period, and thank you very much.